The reading from God's Word, the book of Jeremiah, the 28th chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the fifth month of that same year, the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of all the priests and all the people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priest and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true." May God add his blessings to this, the reading and the preaching of his word. Years ago, when television was just beginning to establish its prominence in American households, TV executives stumbled on a format that involved contestants who were competing against one another for prizes and excursions and significant sums of money, a format that came to be known as the game show, a format that would prove to be a staple in the television broadcasting industry for years and years, even to this present day. It didn't take those executives long to realize that they could spice up the competition if they could also involve some celebrities in the game show format. And so there was one game show that they came up with where they involved 4 celebrity guests who would then interrogate 3 ordinary contestants, each of whom claimed to be the recipients of a story, all of them speaking the same story, claiming to hold the same story, but only one of whom actually could tell the story as the truth. And so the object of the game was for these celebrity guests to determine which of the 3 ordinary everyday contestants was telling the truth, hence the name of the game show, to tell the truth, to tell the truth. You look at the history of game shows, and I don't know of another game show that has been more popular with the viewing public than the game show to tell the truth. Over the years, since the 1950s, that game show has managed to bounce from a regular network slot to syndication back to a network slot and has continued to attain its popularity over the years. How is that so? How is that so? When you think about all of the game shows that have come and gone, all of the game shows that have reached a place of prominence among the viewing public, only to have bit the dust, why is it that this one game show, to tell the truth, has managed to capture more eyeballs than any other game show? Might it be? Might it be that the quest for truth has been an indispensable one among us humans for years and years, going far back beyond the advent of television, all the way back to the Garden of Eden? This quest for the truth is one that is near and dear to all of us, and I would contend, especially in this day when there are a host of opinions circulating around us with respect to any and every topic, and to compound the situation, there are those who would say there is no longer one absolute truth, that there are many truths, that truth is in the eye of the beholder, and if something rings true to your heart, then at least you can say it is truth for you. Call me old-fashioned. I've been called worse things. But I still believe that there are some things in life that are right, and there are some things in life that are wrong. There are some things in life that are true, some things in life that are false. And we need people. We need people in our lives who will speak to us about the truth and will help us to connect with the truth, particularly in a day when people may say, oh, you just have to believe something that speaks to your soul, something that rings true for you. We need a word that is grounded in reality. We need people in our lives like the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke God's truth in a day when God's truth was not always something that God's people were open to hear. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who was broken in his heart because of how his people, God's people, turned from God's truth to follow their own ways, what seemed right to them. And yet, Jeremiah, being called by God to show the people how God would have them to live in order for them to experience God's favor, Jeremiah did not flinch from speaking God's word, even when God's people turned a deaf ear to him and to God. This morning we have before us a passage of Scripture when we see how much of a challenge it was for Jeremiah to continue to hold fast to the truth that God had revealed to him, because of how there were other people in his day who were speaking a very different message. The passage that I've read for you comes from a time when The prophet Jeremiah has been proclaiming God's truth, and there are other prophets who are offering a contrary message, an opposing message. One of them, the prophet Hananiah, whose word was totally contrary to what Jeremiah had been saying. It was a difficult season in Jeremiah's life and Jeremiah's ministry, so much so that Jeremiah records the exact date in the fifth month of the fourth year of the king Zedekiah, who was a puppet king, whom the Babylonians, having recently conquered the land of Judah, had inserted upon the throne of Jerusalem as their way of maintaining control over what would become their subject state. The exile had already begun. It took place in waves, the first of which involved the best and the brightest, the cream of the crop, the artisans, the craftsmen, even the king, Jehoiakim. The Babylonians took them away so that the people they left behind would never be able to organize a revolt of any type. The people who were left behind in Jerusalem were beside themselves. They were anxious and uncertain about the future. They did not know what the future might hold. They wanted to hear a word from the Lord that would see them through such a tumultuous time. And so Jeremiah spoke. He spoke the word that God had given to him. For 70 years, 7 decades, the exiles will be in Babylon. And from his perspective, what God had shown him, the counsel that Jeremiah was to give the people of Jerusalem, the ones who were remaining, submit to the authority of the Babylonians. God is preparing us for something more. And as a way of giving dramatic flair to his preaching, Jeremiah donned a special wardrobe, a wooden yoke, the same kind of implement that a farmer might use to harness the oxen in plowing the fields. It was Jeremiah's way of symbolizing the galling bondage that God would allow his people to experience until they could come to a place in their relationship with him where they might learn to trust him more deeply. Needless to say, Jeremiah, with his wooden yoke and his message of God's people being subjective to a foreign power, the Babylonians, for 70 years, it went over like a lead balloon. Jeremiah was not popular with the people because of the message that he was preaching. And that is why this experience with the prophet Hananiah was such a defining moment in Jeremiah's life, a defining moment in the life of God's people, because Hananiah was preaching a very different message. Jeremiah had been preaching a message of 70 years, seven decades of trusting God in the face of subjection and exile. Here comes Hananiah. 2 years. 2 years, God says. Not 70. 2 years, and I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. 2 years. And I will bring back from Babylon all of the artifacts that the king of Babylon had taken from the temple, along with all of the exiles. Isn't it interesting how the prophet Hananiah spoke first about the stuff, the artifacts, the valuables. And only then did he speak about the people. I will bring back in 2 years all of the artifacts, all of the gold, all of the precious items that were taken from the temple. And oh yes, I will bring back the people too, if you're ever really interested in learning who is speaking the truth to you. Listen to who is telling you to follow the money first. Listen to the people who are elevating possessions over individuals, and that'll give you your answer. Not 70 years, Hananiah said, just 2 years. This won't take long. I'm impressed by Jeremiah's response. He didn't get into a spitting match with his counterpart. Instead, what does Jeremiah say? Amen. I pray that you're right. May it be even as you have said, Hananiah. And yet, I don't think it's the truth, because it's not grounded in how we have seen God work in our midst. It's not consistent with what we have heard other prophets preach. Only the prophet who preaches a word such as you're preaching, a prophet that preaches peace when in the past prophets have proclaimed famine and pestilence and sword and conflict. Only the prophet who proclaims peace will prove to be a true prophet when his prediction comes true. What Jeremiah was reminding, not just Hananiah, but the people in his day, what Jeremiah is reminding us, the people in our day, is that we cannot trust what our hearts want to hear until first we have heard and heeded the heart of God. What Jeremiah wants us to understand is that it is always far better for us to make sure that our hearts are aligned with the heart of God instead of trying to co-opt God into aligning His heart with ours. It's better for us to bend our wills to God instead of expecting God to bend His will to us. When you think about it, it's the same message that years later Jesus would proclaim. The importance of trusting in God, aligning your life and your heart with the life and the heart of God. In much the same way as did Jeremiah, calling people to a deeper sense of devotion to God. The Gospel of Matthew tells us of the time when Jesus had been teaching his disciples around the Sea of Galilee. and felt God leading him to take a preaching tour of the villages that dot the Sea of Galilee: Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. What Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew calls the unrepentant cities that dotted the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. But instead of giving up on these unrepentant cities, these cities that felt the need to follow their own heart instead of following the heart of God, Jesus went to those very towns and villages to call its inhabitants back into a relationship with God, a devotion to God. And you remember how he extended his invitation: "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What did Jesus say to them? "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It was an invitation for those in those unrepentant cities to join with Jesus in linking their lives, their hearts to God, so that God's kingdom might come and God's will might be done on earth as it always is in heaven. But it's not enough, Jesus was saying, just like Jeremiah, for us to base our future in hopeful optimism or what we want to be true. Only 2 years. No, Jeremiah says, it's 70. No, Jesus is saying, you must be in tandem with God. We cannot trust what our hearts may be telling us is the truth until first our hearts have heard and heeded the heart of God. Jeremiah stood firm in his message to the people. The prophet Hananiah, a very different message. And then if you continue on in the story of Jeremiah and Hananiah and their contest with one another, it got to the place where Hananiah, the opposing prophet, the false prophet, he does something what we might understand is equally dramatic. He takes the wooden yoke from the neck of Jeremiah and he throws it to the ground where it breaks into 1,000 pieces. And he says, not just to Jeremiah, but to all the people who have gathered, "I'm telling you," God says, "2 years and I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." And Jeremiah, for his part, doesn't flinch. He goes and gets another yoke. But the yoke that he gets is not a wooden yoke. It's a yoke of iron. A yoke of iron. And he says to Hananiah, "I'm telling the truth. Try to break this one. This yoke that I am wearing is one that only God can remove." "Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," Jesus said, "and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Join with me. Be in tandem with me as we seek to follow God's will." And yet, just as with Jeremiah, there were people in Jesus' day who would not believe that he was telling God's truth, even to the point that, like Hananiah with Jeremiah, they tried to break and silence Jesus by nailing him to a cross in an effort to shut him up. But what they came to see is though you can try to crucify God's truth and bury it in a barred tomb, in God's time, God's truth will always rise to the surface. God's truth in God's time will always rise to the surface. Remember that. The next time someone is trying to get you to go in a direction that at first blush seems so easy and so convenient and so pleasant, but the more you think about it, is not consistent with how God has led you in days past. Satan, the Bible says, is the author of lies. And those who follow his way do so to their peril. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And those who follow him, even to the point of denying themselves, taking up their cross, those who follow him find their way to the Father. Don't trust your heart until your heart has first heard and heeded the heart of God. Because that decision is most definitely not a game. It is one that instead will determine your eternal destiny. So listen carefully and choose wisely. And most importantly, follow faithfully. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God, so many voices that are clamoring for our attention, and so many of them seem too good to be true, especially when the voice of your Spirit is calling us to a much deeper and harder truth, one that requires from us a level of commitment and devotion that we can only give by means of your grace. Your truth, O God, makes us flinch always before it sets us free. But when we dare to believe and align our hearts with yours, it's only then that your joy wells up in our souls. So speak to us, speak to our hearts even now, for our hearts will forever be restless until they rest in you. This is our prayer which we make in Jesus' name. Amen.